or hurt me. I've had such a good week. Fantastic. Right. Well, I'm really pumped about this morning's message. As Hannah said, I am embarking on a couple of weeks series here of preaching. I'll preach 2 weeks in a row. I'll have a break from preaching and I'll preach another two, but I'll try and knit it all together, I'm sure. Wednesday night, I'd encourage you, if you've not been to one of our Wednesday night church nights at our place, I'd really encourage you to get there. It's a real blessed time. I'm really blessed by them, and I know many are. I get to speak at a level that I don't usually in this environment, just because we've got just a different presence there. God anoints it differently. And so I'd really encourage you to come on. We get into praying for each other and just targeting some issues, praying for our church, covering our church. So if you're not haven't been in a while, I encourage you to come to our Wednesday night prayer nights. They're really exciting. Amen? Take my word for it. Well, this morning I want to preach on, if I've got a screenshot, is there a screenshot for this message? Yeah. Four words that I believe will keep us missional, where I believe God really wants us focusing on. But the first word I'm going to preach on today, I'm going to give you a bit of an introduction to it, but I need to pray because I need Jesus as much as you do, amen? I need him to help me preach this morning because without him, I'm a very weak communicator and I've got a very strong gospel to preach, amen? So I need the Spirit of God this morning. So I'm going to speak on this whole, unpack this whole thing on reach this morning. But let's pray. I need you to pray for me as I pray for you, church. But come on, let's do it. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to minister your word, your truth, your gospel, your good news. God, without you, I'm a speaker. But God, with you, I'm anointed to proclaim the good news. And so, God, I pray, help me today. Aid me. Lord, empower me. Strengthen me. Cause my words, Lord God, to sync with your heart. And Lord, let us minister into every heart here this morning. God, be the teacher, be the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle. God, in this environment, Lord, touch our hearts, transform us, renew our minds, Lord God. Lord, prepare us for a new season of growth and impact like we've not known before. Touch me, God, as I preach. Lord, touch us as the word comes forth in Jesus' name. And someone said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So reach. Let me talk about reach for a little while, church. Let's get into this. Now, I want to talk essentially, first let me introduce culture and values. Every family has a culture, all right? Whether by default, by design, if you spend a few days with any family, you'll start to realize that there's a culture. The first couple of days they can fool you and be really nice and put the veneer on, but you stay a few days longer and the culture starts to come forth. I mean, you start experiencing the culture of that home, that environment, that family. Every culture, every family has a culture. And their values, that family's values determine their culture. Yeah? Their values, what you value, determines your culture. And so that can be even in a flatting environment. There's a culture in a flat. A whole lot of people come together and they've got nothing in common, but their values determine the culture of that home. So anywhere you go, the values of that environment determine the culture. Smart families have well-defined values. Smart families have well-defined, well-articulated, so everybody in the house can actually say, hey, this is what we value. Smart families has well-defined, well-articulated values that give them a culture that causes growth for everybody in the home, causes comfort, causes people to flourish, kids to flourish, the marriage to flourish. If you have well-defined values, well-articulated values, you have a great culture. You with me? All right, so I'm just laying a platform here, so stick with me. We have to value values. Values are set, every family's values are set in alignment with a vision. Amen? Every family's values are set in alignment with a vision. So Hannah and I have a vision for our ideal future. We have a vision for Taylor. And therefore, we set values in alignment with the vision we have. We have a vision for a healthy, strong, flourishing marriage. So we set values that help us get there. So every value is set in accordance with the vision. Amen? Stick with me. Now, it is the same. It's the same with our church. The growth, the advancement, and the fact that we will walk in our God-given purpose does not depend on strategy and clever planning and how cool we do things, but it's dependent on our values and our character. Us as a church family walking in the purposes of God for our life are not dependent on strategies and how well we can do things. It's dependent on the values and the culture we can cultivate or grow. All right? You with me, church? So now I have a vision for it to be a church for the city so that people can come in and find wholeness and peace and comfort and get a vision for their own lives and go out and be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. I have a vision to be a pastor not only for this church, but be a pastor for our city to speak in and influence and impact. I know you have a vision. That's why you're sitting here, for our church to be a great church for the sake of those who don't know Jesus Christ yet. But we won't do that by clever strategizing and clever plans. We will do that by having strong values that produce a strong culture. Amen? You with me, church? That is how we do it because, and those values are set in accordance with our vision. Our vision is to reach all generations and build for future generations. That's our vision. That's our mission. That's why I get up in the morning. I think, God, how can we anoint me, bless me? How do we reach all generations? Because that's bigger than me, God. How do we reach all generations? How we build for future generations? How do we leave the next generation a church that's not only debt-free, but that's in surplus with finances? How do we leave the next generation momentum that they just need to ride out and cause a greater level of momentum? Lord, how do we bless this generation that we live in? Feed the hungry. Look after those who are in need of counsel. How do we do all this? And I feel, friend, that we need to have strong values that produce a strong culture that causes us to reach our strong vision in God. Amen? Amen? So I want to talk to you why we have these four words on the screen today. Reach, build, follow, lead is because I value these. Because I know there are values that will keep us healthy as a church. Our generosity. The fact that we smile at each other, care for each other. When a new person walks in the door, you befriend them, you care, you remember their name, you remember what their likes and interests are. When they're not as perky as they were last week, you say, hey, what's wrong? Can I help? Can I pray? Can I take you out for lunch? Those are values as Generations Church, and I know you've encountered them in this house. Amen? I know you've encountered them here, and those are values of our house, and we need to continue to be strong in those values, but we also need missional values, cause-related values that keep us advancing. Because how many know that those values won't get us to where we are? They'll help keep us healthy, but we can still be stagnant as a church if those are our only values. We need missional values. We need values that Jesus passed on to his disciples as the ultimate leader. And that's where I'm speaking today on this value, reach. This value that we have, this is set in accordance with our vision to reach all generations and build for future generations. Amen? So here we go. To reach, here's a definition for reach. This is the definition. It's to stretch out an arm in a specified direction in order to touch or grasp something or someone, all right? To stretch out an arm in a specified direction in order to touch or grasp something or someone. Our specified direction, the way we're reaching out our arm is towards this generation. The people we live around, the people you've encountered while you're shopping, parking the car, filling gas, going to school, going to work, taking your kids out. Those are the people that we're stretching out. That's the specified direction for our church. We're saying we're the church for this generation. Isn't that cool? We're the church for this generation. Our specified direction is this generation. But you cannot, now I need you to hear me here, church. You cannot mistake reach for impact. You cannot mistake, and I'm going to explain this in a moment, but you cannot mistake reach for impact. It's also rare to have impact without reach. It's also rare to have impact without reach. Just because I can reach full doesn't mean I have impact over full's life. Amen? That's a really cool old show. You working out, full? Incredible. Jeez. I wasn't expecting that. Hey, don't reach this way, full. There's no need to throw that kind of weight around. Just because I can reach you doesn't mean I have impact over you or in your life, amen? Just because we can reach this generation. See, we live in a generation of incredible reach. You jump on Facebook and you've got 1,000 friends. I've got 1,000 somewhat anyway. It's not to put a number on it, just saying. Anyway, you can jump on the internet these days and have thousands of friends, right? A couple of weeks ago, I was in South Africa. I was able to prepare and plan an outreach event from this side of the world. Just because I can reach their place doesn't mean I have impact in their place. Amen? It does not guarantee impact. Just because you will walk out of this building and say, I want to reach my generation, does not mean that you reaching them will mean you have impact over them or in them. Amen? If you have a ministry to marriages or to youth, just because you're trying to reach them does not mean you have impact with them. All right? And I want to explain what gives us the impact in our reach. There is something that God gave us that gives us impact when we reach people. And I want to talk about that this morning. Romans 1:16 says, Paul speaking to the Roman church, he says, I am not ashamed, or writing to the Romans church, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. All right? So here's a hint as to what causes, what gives us the impact or puts the impact in our reach. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, this is what it says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen? You and I know that it's the power of God. The good news of Jesus Christ is the power of God for us to be saved. To continue to be saved and stand before Him one day and stand safe in His presence. Amen? So here we go. The power in our reach comes from the gospel. The impact in our reach comes from the gospel. It is the good news that sin is pardoned and our soul is saved. That Jesus Christ paid the price for our lives. The Bible carries the message of salvation, the good news of the gospel. Now I want to show you something about the gospel, because this is something I've been speaking now for about 5 or so weeks on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, different elements of it. I would have to speak at least 52 weeks a year, every day, to really exhaust the teaching of the gospel in the Bible. And I bet then God would just take us to a new level and we would spend another year talking on the gospel because there's so much in there. But friend, what I've got to help you understand today is the power of the gospel. What I've got to help you understand today is the power in the gospel. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. Mark chapter 4. Who's got their Bible today? Give me a good amen. Oh, a good amen. Amen. Come on, bring your Bible to church. Some of you, your Bibles are crying out to go to church. Take me to church. I want to go to church. All right, just bring your Bible to church. Just get it out more. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus speaking. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. What's the seed in this illustration? Yell it out to me. The word of God, right? I don't have time to back that up, but trust me on this one. It's the word of God, all right? If we were to read the whole passage, you'd clearly see it is the word of God. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Oh, though he does not know how. Come on, this messed me up, all right? All by itself. Somebody say all by itself. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. See, this is what I didn't get about the gospel. See, at the beginning of this time where I journeyed with God and wanting to preach these messages, I said, God, how does this work? I mean, I know scripture, and I can take people through scripture where you look amazing. I can take them through Revelation where the Bible describes like just this amazing, majestic God. I mean, incredible, a sword coming out of your mouth, eyes blazing like fire. That will get some people saved. I mean, surely that will get some people saved. I mean, I can take you through Old Testament, how powerful God is, how Elijah just doused a whole altar and put rocks all over it, and the other guys couldn't get their fire going, but our God sent fire from heaven. That'll get some people saved. That'll surely get some people saved, amen? I mean, if you knew fire was coming, that'll get you saved. And I'll tell you what, and I sat with God, I said, God, I want you to show me the power of the gospel. And he takes me to Mark chapter 4, 26, and he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. So you go out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. You spread it all up. Night and day you do that. So you're diligent in it. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts. Incredible. Though he does not know how. Byron, though you don't know how, it grows. Regardless of whether you've got your hand in it or not, you've got no part in it. It grows. And the Bible says, all by itself. Incredible. All by itself. And man, that was just a burden lifted off my shoulder. All by itself. That word, all by itself, in the Greek, I looked it up. That phrase is summed up in this Greek word, automatos, which we get the English word automatic. Man, you, a church full of Greek scholars, incredible. Dave, when you plant a church, it's not going to be as good as this one. I'm telling you, Dave, it's not going to be as good as this one. Automatos, I didn't know you'd know that, church. It's incredible. Automatos is the English automatic, all by itself. Here's a definition. All by itself, self-acting, independent of external influence or help. So our job is to just spread the seed. Our job is to spread the seed. It's to get it out there. And I know, friend, you've been diligent in inviting friends and family members who need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I carry a sense of responsibility in being as clear and as articulate as I can about presenting the good news about Jesus Christ. But I do not take responsibility. You should not take responsibility for the seed growing. Amen? Because it's automatos, all by itself. It's automatic. It's God who causes it to grow. Amen? It's God who causes it to grow. And just when you thought that was cool, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Who gets nervous every time the pastor tells you to go somewhere in the Bible? I get nervous. And so I write the scriptures down because, I mean, I'm still like Haggai. The preacher says, go to John. I mean, like Haggai or Malachi. I can never get there quick enough. But then you fake it. Amen, Peter? You fake it. It's just like, yeah, and you say, oh, man, amen, that's good. And you say, oh, yeah. But you're not really, I know. See, Chad, I can relate. Anyway, we're in the book of John. Fake it full, Peter. Book of John, chapter 3. And let's go from seven. Let's go from six because it just gets cool from six. John chapter 3, verse 6, fake it full. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen? And that which is born of the Spirit, the new birth, is Spirit. Do not marvel that I said, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus here, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let's read chapter 9, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? So Jesus here again says to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus comes to him and says, hey, how can I get this eternal life thing? How do I get the new birth, this eternal life that you've been preaching about? And so Jesus says to him, hey, you know, like the wind, you don't know where it comes from, where it's going, how it works, same as your salvation. You don't know, you don't fully understand it, but that's how it happens. And so Nicodemus is like, are you serious? You're not going to let me in on this? Why am I? Yeah, come to Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what, church, there's this whole thing about you don't know, but keep sowing. You don't understand. It's frustrating, but keep sowing. Because some water, some plow the ground, some do this and that, but God causes it to grow. It's automatic. It happens without you, independently of you. Amen? Doesn't matter about how many times you take that person baking, pick them up for church. It's not causing it to grow. No matter how much we sing this song and that song, it's not causing it to grow. Amen? All we can do as a church is work on the soil of people's heart. Help them. Preach messages. Create environments that help them with the soil so that the seed does not have that opposition. But in the end of the day, God causes it to grow. Amen? Who's getting this today? Who's this helping? That's very good. Well, there's one more illustration I want to give you today. One more illustration of this I want to give you today. And it's Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're going to pick it up here because here's a classic. And I really want to just hover here for a time because this is a real classic picture that we need to get clarity on because it's so important. Phil, I just saw you giving Diane the eyes in church. I caught that. Yeah, you're looking at a Bible. It's the oldest pickup line in the book of looking at a Bible. Phil, come on. All right, let's focus, Phil, okay? I'm looking at a Bible. Some guys say impossible. So I want to give you clarity on this because this is something that we all struggle with. I'm including myself, right? I get messed up on this one. And I've really had to say, God, help me sit down, be seated in this whole area because I can easily get up and say, we need to change stuff. We need to do stuff. And you think, come on, preach the word. Here it is, all right? Here it is. In Luke chapter 23, and let's pick it up from 38. And the inscription, just giving you a bit of context, Jesus is on the cross, people are walking by, mocking, scorning him, saying, you could save all these other people, what about saving yourself? So really, this is not looking good for the disciples right now, right? And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Incredible picture. Let me explain what's just happened here. Jesus is fulfilling the purposes of God in his life. He's on the cross, and it doesn't look good. He looks like a defeated king. He looks like a defeated savior. It doesn't look good for the church. The same church, the same Jewish people who had been prophesied for years. I mean, Isaiah chapter 9, that is the government of increase. It'll have no end. It will be majestic and powerful. This will be an incredible king. He'll save the Jews and the Gentiles alike. He'll be the God of us all. But the problem is, he's on the cross and it ain't look good. So now, the disciples would go into a mode as you and I would. Oh, I know it looks strange now, but let me explain. I mean, and we'll try and explain the workings of God here, the working of the gospel. And we'll try and beautify it. We'll bring in the pretty lights and say, hey, I know it looks bad, but it can look better. And you see, it doesn't help us going into the world talking about a king who died. Yeah, it's preaching a gospel about how a savior came and he died. It doesn't look good, right? And it didn't look good on the cross. And it didn't look good to the one thief on his side who said, hey, what about this now? You're all defeated. It's all messed up. Your whole plan of saving everybody. Save us then, if you can save. But the gospel was working inside of him. The other, Jesus didn't preach at him. He did nothing but live in his purpose. Now, how do you explain one person being all scornful and mocking and the other receiving Christ and receiving salvation? Not a message preached, nothing victorious about the church that day, nothing beautiful about the church that day, nothing amazing about the church that day. Amen? Nothing awesome about their testimony on that day. That was the very day it looked the worst for the church. But here, the one falls into how we expect them to respond, and the other says, hey, hang on a minute. There's something in this. There's something powerful, life-transforming. Salvation is in this. I need to respond. That's the same gospel that messed Nicodemus up. He didn't understand. He wanted to so desperately. Friend, to you, it's going to seem like foolishness. You've had your family in this environment and other environments. You've preached at them in other environments, this environment. And you can't explain, and it frustrates you that nobody's making a response. But it's not your responsibility. Amen? It is not your job. It's not even your job to understand it. Jesus gave explanations about the gospel that left people just as confused as when they first asked. But he said, you don't understand it, but it works. So now, coming back to this word reach, you can't confuse reach for impact. But when you reach with the gospel, I believe you have impact. I believe when Generations Church, our specified direction is this generation, amen? Our specified direction is your friends, your family, those who are still to come. That's our specified direction. But if we don't reach them with the gospel, there's no impact in that. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We can't explain it, we can't fathom it, and we're not supposed to. But the fact is, friend, when you have a great understanding, that's why I would take 5 weeks out and say, here's some elements of the gospel that you really need to understand. Here's some elements. Here's some scriptures. Here's some ways of thinking about the gospel that will help you understand that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Friend, you and I need a great understanding of the gospel. We need to seek it out. We need to get the scriptures in our heart. We need to be able to relate to those. The Bible, I mean, David speaks about having an instructed tongue to sustain the weary. Friend, you need to have an instructed tongue. Get an instructed tongue. Get the word of God living inside of you. And just because you reach doesn't mean there's an impact. But I believe the impact comes when there's a reach with the gospel. Amen? Come on, friend, let's not grow weary in doing good. Because at the right time, we'll reach it, we'll reap a harvest. Amen? At this, not get weary in doing good, because at the right time, who determines the right time? He does. And at just the right time, we'll reap a harvest. Let's not get weary. Let's keep reaching out. Remember this message as you go out through the week and reach out to people. Continue to invite them, bring them in. Continue to take them into your homes and encourage and speak the gospel, speak the truth of God. When you've got opportunities, when you see a weary person, somebody who can do with the life-giving power of the gospel, reach out with the gospel, amen? Don't stop doing good, because at just the right time, we'll reap a harvest. Amen? Though you can't explain it, friend, it works. Amen? I've given you three very clear Bible illustrations of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think the last one, Jesus of the cross, is the most powerful, because it doesn't look good. And often we're trying to beautify the church, talk the church up to people. Amen. Talk your Christian. Oh man, when I came to Jesus Christ, He gave me this. He did this for me. Amen. And if you give your life to God, He'll do this for you. You'll get this. He'll bring you out of that. And we're constantly trying to talk up the gospel. I'm telling you, that day that Jesus went on the cross, it was not a good day to be a sales rep for the kingdom. Amen, Phil. I mean, you could have brought those guns along with you. It just wouldn't have been a good day to be a sales rep for the kingdom. I tell you what, church, the product wasn't good. The CEO was on a cross. The head of the church was on a cross, and he looked defeated. But even in the midst of it, there was salvation. Even in the midst of it, there was salvation. Incredible. Friend, you don't need to try and beautify the church. You don't need to try and explain what God will do for them, has done for you. That's great. Let that be a part of your testimony, because God is good like that. He redeems and He restores. Amen? That is the truth. But I pray that you never feel like you have to talk the church up. Talk Generations Church up. Talk the kingdom of God up. Because the gospel will work regardless of what you tell them about it. Amen? The gospel works. Come on, say it with me. The gospel works. Come on, church. The gospel works. And I pray that you would have that kind of confidence when you leave this place today, that you never feel the responsibility to try and talk the church up. Let me pray for you, church, where you are. Matt, why don't you come and let's just pray and administer in this time. Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Father, I thank you that, Lord, all the weight of the gospel is still on your shoulders, God. Lord, we're still the farmer that sows the seed. Lord, there's no other qualifications, just to be a farmer that sows the seed. And I pray that, God, as we get excited about the gospel today, excited about its power, Father, I pray that it would live in us and continue to save us. But God, I pray that we would have the confidence to continue to sow. Father, we have a conviction that found people find people. Found people, find people to tell. Found people, find people to love. And God, we want to be found people who continue to find people. God, I pray, cause us to be ever conscious of people around us, God. Lord, cause us to be ever conscious of the gospel and its power. God, I pray that we would never lose sight of the power of the gospel. God, I pray we would never be discouraged about what it looks like. Because, Lord, you've never been discouraged by what it looks like. Lord, there's power in the gospel, and we receive it today. We pray it over every person. Friend, if you're in this place today and you know your relationship with Jesus Christ is just not firing on all cylinders, you know you're not in relationship with Jesus Christ right now. It's been months, weeks. Or maybe you've never been in relationship with Jesus Christ. you're saying, Byron, this gospel, I need it right now. I need it to save me from some ways of thinking, some ways of acting, some habits that keep me in slavery to this sin. Friend, if that's you, if I'm talking to you today and you're sitting here and you're saying, Byron, I need you to pray with me. Friend, if that's you and you know today is the day that you give your whole life back into the hands of Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to do one very brave thing. Is lift your hands where you are. I'll see it and I'll get you to put it down. And at the end of this meeting, you and I are going to pray. And we're going to go into a new relationship with Jesus. If that's you, friend, just respond now quickly by raising your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else today who thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else today who you just know, Byron, I need this vital relationship with Jesus Christ and I need help. I've tried to do it on my own, but I keep slipping back into that same old rut and routine. If that's you today, you know you need to just renew your relationship with Him. You need the power of Jesus Christ in your life today at work. Friend, if that's you, come on, just respond right now. In Jesus' name, respond. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. Is there anybody else today? Man, this is powerful. I pray that we never let shame rob us of that powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there anybody else today who needs to respond to Jesus in this moment? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Come on, you stand to your feet with me. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for every person in this place today that the power of God is here to change a life. God, I thank you that, Lord God, your power is at work regardless of what we're doing. Whether we sleep or we get up, whether it's night or day, the gospel is working in Jesus' name. And I pray that the gospel that has been sown into every heart in this room would continue to work in power and work in authority. I thank you, God, that in this moment, your power is saving us, Lord God. I thank you that the gospel would lead us to salvation and lead us into a daily salvation. Thank you, God, that today there's power for everyone who believes in you. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Come on, church, why don't you repeat this prayer with me? Everybody say it. Dear Jesus, I repent of every sin and offense. I need you today. I can't do it on my own. I need your Holy Spirit. I need the gospel power. I believe that you're my Savior, that you died and rose again, all that I can have salvation. I thank you that today I'm safe in your presence and nothing is going to entice me out. I love your presence. And I always want to be in it. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let me pray for your friends and family before we let you go today. Amen. Come on, if you got friends and family that you know the seed has gone in and you know that whether you sleep or get up, whether you're out in the field or not, the seed is planted and it will flourish. Amen. If you've got friends or family members or you know someone who you know the gospel has gone out, come on, friend, just reach out to God right now and join me in praying for them. Father, we thank you for the salvation of my friends and family member. God, I thank you right now that we together are believing for the salvation of our friends and family members. God, I thank you that your word tells us how the gospel works, whether we go out or come in, whether we're awake or we can be dead asleep. God, the gospel is working. It produces. It's automatos. It's automatic, God. I thank you that it's without outside influence. No matter where they are, no matter how far they are from you in our natural eyes, oh God, we thank you that the power of the gospel is at work. And Jesus, we thank you that it would come to fruition in this season, that now is the time for salvation. God, we reach out to you in this time and we pray, save them completely, God, and save them daily in Jesus' name. Let there be an automatos happening right now, an automatic salvation. Lord, where we've planted a seed, let it bear fruit in Jesus' name. We thank you for salvation. Lord, I thank you that our sin is pardoned and our souls are saved in Jesus' name. Our sin is pardoned and our souls are saved, and so is theirs. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank him like it's just been done, church. Thank him like it's just been done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I say that you're just the coolest church to preach to? You're just the best group of people. You just love seeing God's power at work. Don't grow tired in doing good, church. Amen? Don't grow weary in doing good, because at just the right time, you'll reap a harvest. Is that good? At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest. Praise God. Come on, one more time. Just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I know we could stay here all day hearing from the Word of God, but why don't we go out and grab a cup of tea, talk to somebody about how the gospel has touched you today. Tell them. Amen. And if there's prayer needs today, please come to the front. Let me stand with you in prayer. I'd love to pray with those people who responded this morning. Bless your church. Have a great day.